Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. We make promises which we do not always fulfill. And others make promises to us which they do not always fulfill. Sometimes because something happens, something out of their control, something out of our control. And because promises are broken, are left unfulfilled, we put down things like deposits and earnest money, and we have collateral for loans. And when someone makes a promise, you need to consider at least two things. Who's making the promise, and what are they promising? You have to consider, is this thing that they are promising even possible? Can it actually happen? And then you also have to consider the person. Even if it is possible for that thing to happen, can this person fulfill it? Or are they such character that they are able to do it or not? God also makes promises. And we know that God is able to fulfill his promises. We know that he has the power to do what he says he's going to do. He doesn't need to put up collateral. He simply can speak and make his promise. But it's easy for us as human beings to forget when we consider what those promises are sometimes. You see, God promises some pretty miraculous and amazing things, things that are out of the ordinary for our normal human experience. And it can be easy to forget who is making the promise when we consider what the promise is. But then we consider that this is God making the promise to us. And we know that he's able to do what he says, no matter how impossible it may seem. No matter how different it seems from our daily human experience. But let's get a little more concrete and look at a few examples of God's promises. Here in our gospel reading, we see Mary visiting Elizabeth while they are both pregnant. And the fact that they are both expecting children is in itself a miracle. It's a miracle for a woman of Elizabeth's age to have a baby. Earlier in the book of Luke, we hear, however, that the angel Gabriel visited Zechariah and promised him, giving a promise from God that his wife, even though she was advanced in years and she'd been barren, had had no children, that even she was going to have a baby. God made a promise. And it seemed like a pretty incredible promise, given the history with Elizabeth, that she hadn't had a baby. And she was old, and she shouldn't be able to have a baby, it would seem, at this age. And so that's quite a promise. An old man and an old woman who have not been given children to suddenly conceive and give birth to children. It's so hard to see that this promise could be fulfilled that Zechariah says to the angel Gabriel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Zechariah doesn't believe at first that this is possible. Even though the angel comes from God and is speaking to him and giving him a message from God, the Lord of the universe, who is power over all things, who is able to do amazing things, who created the very bodies that Zechariah and Elizabeth have, who gives life, and who furthermore has done this before in the Old Testament. God had given children to people who were old, who maybe could not have been expected at that point to have children. The best example, perhaps, is Abraham, who is 100 years old and his wife is at least 90 years old. And yet, God gives them their first child at that age. That God should give them this miracle when this is so outside of their normal human experience. But God is the one who has made our bodies and who gives life, and He can create life, and He is able to do miraculous things. And when He makes a promise, just like He made to Abraham and Sarah, and as He made to Zechariah here through the angel Gabriel, God is able to fulfill those promises. He is able to bring life when it seems that life is not possible. He is the author of life, and He's able to create life in the womb, even when it seems impossible to our human experience. And Zechariah, though, heard this promise, and it was too incredible for him to believe, it seems. And so the angel tells him, in the face of his unbelief, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." Because he didn't believe, Zechariah could speak no word until after the promise came true. Until after God's word had been fulfilled, he could speak no words. And the Lord did fulfill his word. The Lord keeps his promises, and he kept this one too, as we see in our gospel reading for today. Because there, Elizabeth, this woman in her old age, has a baby. And that baby leaps in the womb at the sound of the voice of Mary, the mother of our Lord. He leaps for joy in the womb. This is a living child in Elizabeth's womb who hears the voice of the mother of the Savior of the world and leaps for joy there. And that brings us to the next promise that we have here. Another of God's many promises that we hear, and here, specifically hear this one fulfilled in our text. A virgin named Mary here is expecting a baby. The same angel that visited Zechariah 6 months later goes to Mary. And the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she, as a virgin, apart from any man, was going to conceive in her womb and bear a son and call his name Jesus. Now, compared with the promise that God was going to give to Zechariah and Elizabeth, a child, this promise is even harder to believe. Because here, a woman who is not married, who it would seem does not have the possibility, apart from another man, to conceive a child, here this woman is going to have a baby. At least with Zechariah and Elizabeth, that's the normal way for things to operate. The normal way that God creates new life. But here, this is outside of God's normal way of operating, that here a virgin should conceive and bear a child. And what's more, God is not just creating an ordinary human being in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Not just another man like he created Adam from the dust of the earth. He's not going to create another man like that here. He's going to come into Mary's womb. God is going to be there, conceived by the Holy Spirit. This person who is going to be born is going to be called holy, the Son of the Most High. He is going to be fully God and fully man, there in the womb of the Virgin Mary, to be born and to suffer and to die for the sins of the world. He is called Jesus because he is going to save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. This one is going to be God in human flesh to save people, to die for us, to die for Mary, to die for the sins of all people. The God of the universe, creator of Mary and of all people, takes on a humble form. He doesn't come in power and great glory, but comes in the womb of a girl. This promise seems even more extraordinary than the promise made to Zechariah. But the same Lord who made a promise to Zechariah and fulfilled that promise can fulfill his promise to Mary and can do this amazing thing. Even though it seems incredible and seems unbelievable, because he is the Lord of the universe, the God of all things, who keeps his promises And his promise that he has made since the fall into sin was that he was going to send someone who was going to defeat sin and death and Satan. And he is fulfilling that promise here. And does Mary believe that God can fulfill these amazing promises? Or, like Zechariah, does she have a hard time believing that God could do it? Zechariah didn't believe a less incredible and unbelievable promise. But Mary did believe. She believed the amazing promises of God, that in her virgin womb she would bear the Son of God. And Elizabeth says as much about Mary in our gospel reading for today. She says to Mary, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Blessed. Notice that Mary in this sentence is not called blessed because she bears the Son of God in her womb. That is true, and it says that earlier here in our gospel reading. But here in this verse that I have just read, she is blessed because she believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Blessed because she believed not only that God was capable of keeping some promises, or many of his promises, but that God was capable of keeping even a promise as extraordinary as a virgin bearing a child and bearing the Son of God in her womb. And do we today still believe that God is able to fulfill his promises, even extraordinary promises outside of our normal human experience? Because the Lord has made amazing promises to us as well. He has promised you that he will one day come again in power and great glory, descending on the clouds. We will see him. We will see him descending. This is out of the ordinary, extraordinary, that we should see someone descending from the sky on the clouds with power and great glory, that we should hear the trumpet sound, and that this world as we know it should come to an end. It is hard, perhaps, for us to believe then that this Savior, this Lord of all things, will come and he will create a new heavens and a new earth. All the things as we have known them will come to an end. We who are alive will be glorified, and the graves that we see, the very graves across the street, will open and people will come out of them. Some of your friends and neighbors, your relatives, and perhaps if you have died, perhaps you will come as well. All will be raised. So if you have died, you will be raised, and all those in Christ will be raised, and will be with Christ forever, in a new heavens and a new earth. This is amazing. This is outside of our normal human experience. And we are looking forward to it as Christians. As those baptized into Christ, washed in him, claimed as his own, dead to sin, made alive in Christ, we look forward to the day that we will be raised to new life forever. This is an amazing promise, and it's what we look forward to here in the season of Advent. We sing, O come, Emmanuel. O come, God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. Come to be with us forever. Come, bid thou our sad divisions cease, and be thyself our King of peace. Come and close the path to misery, we sang. End all of the sins and the death and the problems and the sufferings of this world once and for all. It is hard to believe that that should happen when it is so often our human experience, that there should be suffering and pain and death. But that is not the way God intends it to be forever. He will end all of that one day, and there will be perfect peace and joy and happiness. There will be the eternal worship of the Lamb in his kingdom forever. But even now, even before the fulfillment of that great promise at the end, we have God fulfilling promises for us today. We have Emmanuel coming for us today. As he comes and he washes people, and makes them his children, so that they are raised to new life, washed of sin, so that they can be with our Lord forever. He comes and gives them forgiveness, fulfills the promise to cleanse us of all our guilt, whatever we have done, to say, you are forgiven, you are washed, you are clean, you are mine, you belong to me. He comes in his body and his blood to feed you and give you life, and promises that you have forgiveness, and that here in this supper you are fed and strengthened. He comes and says that he unites his body, the church. We are all one body, for we partake of the one bread, Scripture says. And we partake of this one bread, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his body and in his blood. And we believe that this is good for us and blesses us. And in faith in his promises, we come here today, believing that God does indeed fulfill his promises, that he forgives our sins, that he feeds us, that he strengthens us, that he gives us new life, that he unites us as his body, that here in Jesus, in his word, in his body, in his blood, in water, in the word of forgiveness, Jesus is giving new life and strengthening his church. Here God is working. He is fulfilling his promises. And because we live in this world of sin, this world of disease and death, we don't see the full fulfillment of all of what will happen when all of the benefits of what Christ has done come to fruition. We don't see that all coming true right now, but we will see it in heaven forever. Right now, we who receive our Lord's forgiveness and receive his new life, we still sin against one another, and we still need to be forgiven, and we still need to forgive. And we still sin against our Lord, and we still need his forgiveness. We still experience these things in this world, but we are looking forward to the day that Emmanuel, God with us, comes to be with us forever in the new heavens and the new earth. God fulfilled promises to Mary, to Elizabeth, to Zechariah. Amazing promises. Just as he fulfilled promises to people throughout the Scriptures, especially in sending his dear Son into our flesh to come to the cross to die for us. And he has given promises to you, and he has fulfilled them for you by washing you in baptism and feeding you here, and he will keep fulfilling them. Look forward now, even as we look forward to the celebration of Christ's first coming, look forward now to the celebration of his second coming, when he comes again in glory. Because our Lord does fulfill his promises. And blessed are you, just with Mary, blessed are you who believe that there will be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to you week after week from the Lord. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.